Take your Bible tonight and go to the book of 2 Corinthians. We're going to look there at a couple of verses, and then we're going to have some prayer time tonight. I don't know what your need may be, what burden you carry this night, but we're going to take some time to pray at the conclusion of this brief message, and then talk to the Father about your need, my need, whatever burden you carry tonight. You bring that, we'll pray over you, encourage you in this service tonight. So we're in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 20 and 21. I want us to look at one word tonight and think about this one word. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Now, how many of you got your phone and you got it on? All right? Good. That's good tonight. I need you to use it. All right? All right? Good. 1 Corinthians 5, verse 20. Brother Mike, you got yours on over here, hadn't you? Amen. All right, I saw you getting your Bible out a while ago. I was in a meeting a few nights ago, and the young pastor got up, and he said, "Now, turn your Bible on to 2 Corinthians." And I thought, well, where's the switch on this thing? But everybody in his place use an iPad, all right? So turn your Bible on to 2 Corinthians 5, verse 20. "Therefore we are," here's my word, "ambassadors." Ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making an appeal through us, we beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. An ambassador has a high responsibility and an assignment that is sometimes life-taking. And as an ambassador of Christ, you have an assignment and a responsibility. We are ambassadors of the King of Kings. Now, I want you to think with me about ambassadors for a few moments tonight. And I want someone to Google and find out who the ambassador from America to England is tonight, okay? Anybody know that without looking it up? Somebody find out who the ambassador to Japan is tonight. Anybody know that without looking it up? Okay, Google that. Find it. Okay? If you got service in here, you should have. I've tried to get it blocked, but I can't. They tell me it's against the law. Will somebody find out who it is in England, who it is in Japan? So I want you to think about I'll come back and ask you in a few minutes. About an ambassador. You understand this word. This ambassador is the one who represents our government in another nation. The president can't go everywhere. He can't represent us everywhere. So he assigns people an ambassadorship from our nation to another nation. And they are there as our representative, speaking for us to them, and speaking many times for them to us. You remember that movie Crimson Tide, where the Russians keep losing submarines? If you've watched the movie, and the ambassador from Russia to America comes in, and he keeps saying to the congressman, "Well, we've lost another submarine. Of course, been hijacked," and it's well, he's there, and he's supposed to be speaking to Russia and to America and to America and to, and it's two citizenships. And Paul picks up on that, and he says to you, and he says to me, that we are ambassadors for Christ. We have a spokesperson. Christ is our mediator. He's the only one's the go-between. But now you and I become the ambassadors. So let's think about ambassadors for a few minutes tonight. Anybody find out who the ambassador to England is? Who is he? Morrison? You ever heard of him? I don't have a clue. Now, don't forget that. It's not important that you know the ambassador. It's the important thing is that the ambassador knows his job. There are a lot of people not going to know you. But it's important that you do your job. Who's the ambassador to Japan? A lady? Okay. Amen, somebody said over here in a high-pitched voice. You're going on. You remember President Bush the First? He was an ambassador years ago. He had that job as an ambassador. He'd done many things in our government. One of those was being an ambassador. Well, you could look up. Now, when I think of Japan, I think of England. I got to think, being the ambassador from America to England, I think I'd like that job. That sounds pretty cushy. I mean, you got this great building to then, you got your budget. Those are our friends. But now somebody's got to be the ambassador to Sudan. Little different deal in some places. We travel and we'll see the embassies in certain countries. You go to Hungary and you'll find that's pretty good. Romania, we have a great relationship there. You'll see that embassy and we have an ambassador, and that's. But you know, we lost an ambassador a while back, didn't we? In an attack. Sometimes it's easy, sometimes it's hard. Some have easier places than others to be the representative. And such is true of the kingdom. Some of you are in harder places than others representing Christ. From time to time, I'll have people say, I think I'd really like to work at the church. That's got to be a great job. There are days it is a phenomenal job. It's a great job. But other days, it's a very hard job. But then there are some of you where you work. Every day is a hard day if you're going to really represent Christ. I mean, it's hard. I talked to one of our gentlemen down here this morning. He told me, he said, Pastor, I worked for the News Journal for 31 years. He said it was not the easiest place to represent Christ. But he said most of that time I was lost and I got saved and God sent me somewhere else. And then he said I went into the construction business. Here was his word to me. I don't know. He said, you know that 90% of the people in the construction business where I worked out there, just 90%, he said, are not Christ followers. He said, those are hard, hard people. Very difficult place to stand for Christ. Now, that was his word, 90%. And it may be higher than that in places, lower than others. He's just simply saying that the construction industry is a hard place when you stand for Christ as an ambassador. Well, as an ambassador, what do you do? Well, I'll give you six words tonight thinking about an ambassadorship. And then I want us to spend a little while praying tonight about you being an ambassador. But I also want your need. I don't know what your need is. Now, some of you carry a heavy burden tonight. And I want us to come and spend some time at this altar and just unloading that burden and saying, God, I cast my care over on you this night. So let's look at being an ambassador for Christ. Let's think of six words that would help us to be an ambassador. Number one, first word is citizenship. Citizenship. You understand you have to be a citizen of our country in order to represent us. No illegal alien can be an ambassador for our nation. You must first be a part of here to go there. You will never be an ambassador for Christ until you are a citizen of heaven. Philippians chapter 3 and verse number 20 tells us that our citizenship is in heaven. Philippians 3 and verse 20. Do you have your kingdom passport? You got one? You're supposed to have one. It's written in your heart. You're a citizen of heaven. You're not a citizen of this world. You're a citizen of another world. You're simply here representing the citizenship of heaven. Our citizenship is in heaven. And because we are members there, God allows us to be here, and we are ambassadors for Christ. You must first have citizenship in the country that you are going to represent. Number two is the word character. Character. When our nation names an ambassador, they vet them and they give close scrutiny to them. We introduced to you John Tyner this morning as our new minister of music. We had to vet John. I knew him, but we still had to do our due diligence and all of that. He'll have to still take a drug test, all right? If he flunks that, then we'll fire him next week and we'll be out and going. You'll get a paycheck, take a drug test. Isn't that right, Dr. Lewis? That's the way it works right here, isn't it? That's in the bylaws. And you have to do that. Well, you see, you got to be a man of character to come on staff here. Well, there's certain qualities. If you're going to represent God, there's got to be character issues in your life. I will never forget Dr. Ronnie Floyd when I talked about having John come on our staff. I had recommended John several years ago to Dr. Floyd out in Arkansas. And when Leo left us, I talked to Ronnie. And Ronnie said, I'm telling you, you ought to go get that young man in Knoxville. I said, well, he's on my list, and I'm looking. He said, I'm just telling you, I have already vetted him, and he is quality people. You have to know Ronnie. He does a great background check. I mean, you don't even get to come preach for him like I've done unless he's, you know, gone back and looked at your IRS file. I mean, it's kind of the way they do things, and they take that very seriously. He had a pastor coming in to preach for him a few weeks ago, and I called him and I said, have you heard the news about Pastor so-and-so that's coming to preach for you? And he said, no. I said, it's all over the news. I said, he's a Vegas gambler on the side, and he pastors his church. He said, what? And of course, I'm just reeling him in, you know, because it's killing him. I mean, he's just so high on the content of character. My character went way down, but I had a little fun with him. Well, listen, if you're going to represent Christ, if you're going to speak for Christ, not only have you got to be a citizen, you got to be a man or a woman of character. You don't just go and say, hey, you know, there's got to be something about you. You earn the right with your character to be able to speak. And such are ambassadors. We are ambassadors for Christ. Third word is the word conduct. Conduct. There would be no divided loyalty in your life. This would lead to treason. You can't be half-hearted. You got to be full. Now look over in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 15, if you would. Notice it's just one page over. You've got your Bible open and you move back a few verses. For 2 Corinthians 5:15, and he died for. What does all mean? It means everyone, doesn't it? All right, he died for all. Don't forget that. So that they who live together, so that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and rose again on their behalf. You don't live for yourself, not as an ambassador, but for him. This is the calling. You don't have divided loyalty. You're not half-hearted. You will never be an ambassador for Christ if you're half-hearted. John, I saw on Fox News website this afternoon. I was just running through some things and I was checking because you never know about what's going on in Washington. And I've been praying for Jeff Miller. Matter of fact, I sent him a text early this morning, my prayer time, to our congressman. I said, Jeff, praying for you today, because he's normally here. Every Sunday he's in town. He's sitting right back there. He and Vicky, part of our church, and I said, man, I'm praying for you and calling out to God for you in this government slim down that I'm just praying. So I never know when that's going to break, or they're going to change something, or they're going to vote and get together, and, you know, it seems like this afternoon they may be farther apart than they've been. And so I was looking, but I found an article, John, that popped up in the state of Washington where they have banned youth ministers from high school cafeterias. And so they were interviewing these these young men that volunteer and go on the campus to meet the students, and it's the only time that the youth minister in their culture is able to get on the campus. It's pretty tough here for us. The only time they could get on the campus was at lunch. And so they go in, and of all things, they accused these youth ministers, they always use this word, of proselytizing. Oh, well, I wouldn't want to be proselytized, would you? I mean, that sounds like a medical procedure. I mean, you'd have to be knocked out for them to do that to you. I mean, that sounds wicked. Oh, they're in there trying to change the hearts of these. Well, they're not giving them drugs. I mean, it's not like they're passing out pornography. And these young men are there, and they're standing in a hard place. And they ask them what they were doing. They said, we're simply here loving on these young people. And one mother said in the report, my son, who is really closed, he doesn't open, said he would have to sit by himself at lunch every day. He would not know anyone if these men didn't come, and others would come over and would help him to warm up to other people. She says, all they're doing, they're encouraging people. And of course, when the gospel comes up, they ask them about it. Say, what are you doing here? Why are you here? Say, well, I'm the youth minister at Olive Baptist Church. And, you know, you want to invite them. I guess that crosses the line. You've proselytized. Well, so be it. Bless God. Those are the fields in which we have to be very careful. We're going to talk about that in a moment. But when you get there, you must have conduct. And those young men said in that article, I don't want to bring a bad testimony to my Lord, but I'm here in the name of Jesus trying to minister to young people on his campus. No divided loyalty. You got to be up front and simply be, and we are ambassadors. Now, I don't know where you work or where you hang out, but I'm telling you, you can't have divided loyalty if you are going to be an ambassador. And you don't need to have it, and you need to stand for Christ. There's citizenship, there's character, there's conduct. Number four is the word consistency. Consistency. You got to be consistent. It must be a steadfastness, a loyalty, this spirit of being consistent, not being one thing today and another tomorrow. You can't be a socialist one day and a communist the next day. And, you know, you've got to be committed to the Democratic Republic of the United States and have a consistency if you're going to be an ambassador and stand for that in the nation, wherever you are. Well, the same way, if you're going to be an ambassador for Christ, you got to be consistent. You got to believe the word of God. You must say his name. You got to say his name. Can you imagine one of our ambassadors that would never say the word America? What do you do? Well, I'm an ambassador and I represent who? Well, I really can't say. You know, that name's offensive. Let me tell you, if you're an ambassador for God, you've got to say the J word. Amen. If you don't, you're not an ambassador. It's his name. He died for us. He is our salvation. He is our message. And so we must be consistent, steadfast, and loyal about the name. Number five is communication. Now, this is very, very important, communication. An ambassador that communicates from Washington to the country in which you're represented, Japan or England or wherever that may be, you are communicating here. And then you're communicating from there back. And you're not the mediator, you're the ambassador. You don't represent them, you represent your Lord. But at the same time, there's some things there that you bring in intercession back to the throne of grace. I've always thought that it would be a great advantage for an ambassador if they were bilingual and could speak the language of the nation in which they lived. It's not a must, I mean, because it'd be hard to find people that would be qualified in every way plus, being able to speak the language, but it's got to be that you're so far down the road when you understand. Because my wife is gone, we never hardly eat out on Sunday, but she's gone today, so I went with some friends to lunch today, and we ate up here at a Mexican place, and all the people in there were bilingual. Well, except me. And I know when I take my order, they take it in English, but when I speak to each other, they don't let me know. That bothers me when they deliver my food and they look at this guy and say something. I just spit in his plate then over there. What is that? Well, they're communicating. And you understand. Here's what I'm telling you. If it helps when you understand the culture. Now be very... We, as ambassadors, sometimes we become so wholly huddled that we don't know what's going on in the culture. And we've got to touch the culture without bending to the culture in order to understand it so that we can represent our Lord within it. It's called communication. Don't say that. Oh, I'm just telling you, you got to be in the world, but not of the world. And you got to communicate in that world. That's part of what faith service is about. It's what we're trying to crack into a little bit of culture and make it inviting to people. Some church folk don't like it. Well, we don't do it for church folk. We have many, many, many other things we do just for the church, but this would not be one of them. We try to break some of those barriers down if at all possible. We feel like we don't do a very good job, but we're trying, and we move in there. We're learning. But you got to learn to communicate when you're in that culture and know what they speak of. Communication, very, very important. And then the very last word, not only citizenship and character and conduct and consistency in communication, but the last one is consideration. Consideration. Look in your Bible in 2 Corinthians and go back to chapter 2 and verse 15. 2 Corinthians 2 and verse 15. Well, the Bible says this, "For we are a fragrance of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing." So among the saved and the lost, we are to be a fragrance of Christ to God among those that are saved and those who are perishing. Consideration. Here's what I mean by that word. If you're going to be an ambassador, you need to be considerate. Considerate. It's the word diplomacy. Diplomacy. There's a commercial on television, and I turn it off now every time. It runs so much, I turn it off every time it comes on. And there's a man sitting at a little people's table. And he's got children, little people around him. And so he's sitting there. I got in trouble today about that phrase, little people. People that are, the word now is dwarf, I understand. I mean, I got really in trouble today. Just, I didn't know how to communicate. Because I used the word midget. And evidently you can't say that anymore. I didn't know that. Let me tell you, on Sand Mountain, they still have midget wrestling. I'm just telling you, they still do that. But you can't use that word. Well, this guy said, but these are not dwarfs. These are kids. And he's sitting at the table with his kids. And then he asks always a dumb question. Is it better to do this or to do that? Is it better to do this or to do that? Do you like it more or do you like it less? You want more or you like less? You know, and one kid, hold more, you know. And I'm just like, driving me nuts. When you learn this communication, you've got to be diplomatic. And to use the kind of words I was just talking, often is you're not diplomatic. But you got to learn to do that. And I'm not good at it. And we must be better of crossing those bridges into the culture of being diplomatic in order that we might win some for Christ. It's simply called being considerate. You catch more flies with honey than you will vinegar. And so you must have this. Did you hear the word? We are to be a what? A fragrance. What Paul's saying here is you're not going to lead anybody to Christ if you stink. Amen. If you're smelling up the joint, that's not good. But you are to be an aroma, a fragrance. Do you know that y'all love me, don't you? Okay. This is Pastor Appreciation Month, so cut me a little slack here on this, all right? My mother-in-law is over here at a retirement place. Do you know old people that live communally, and I mean they're all together, I can smell old. Can you smell old? It ain't good. It is not a fragrance that makes me want to move in. Do you know that some churches have that kind of fragrance where it says to people, I don't want to be a part of that. Because the aroma, when people come in, it's repellent. It is not physically to their nostril, but it is spiritually to their soul. That says your kind's not welcome here. Consideration. Diplomacy. Being diplomatic with the gospel. Being a sweet-smelling aroma. Amen. And you got to do it. Now, look in his text. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. And we talked about that word. Six things. We're ambassadors. As though God, look at this. As though God were making an appeal through us. God wants to use you. He's in you and through you. It's almost like a hand puppet. That God himself is making an appeal through us. And therefore we're begging you on behalf of Christ. Be reconciled to God. Do you know everybody in this world that's lost or separated from God? And they need to be reconciled to God. And the only way to do that is found in verse 21. He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. He literally causes us to be his righteousness. When he draws us together, he reconciles us, sinful man, holy God. We're spent, we're useless, we're busted, we're broken, we're lost, we're hellbound, and God reaches and draws us and reconciles us to God. You ever been mad at somebody and get reconciled? Reconciliation is a beautiful thing. It really is. See, two brothers have been on the outs and all of a sudden they get right and they're reconciled. See a husband and wife that they get divided and all of a sudden somebody repents and they get right and they're reconciled. And that's good. That's good. A son and a mother to get reconciled. One of the greatest days of reconciliation for me was I was 11 years old with my mother. I bruised my mother's spirit bad. I could be a mean little cuss when I was just a kid. I've gotten over that now, but amen. In Jesus' name, yeah. But I said something to my mother one time and I hurt her really, really, really bad. And I remember my mom telling me, we were getting ready to go on a trip. Dad and I with some other people. Matter of fact, we were coming to Florida to go fishing. And she told me in no uncertain terms, you will not set foot out of this house until you come and hug my neck and tell me you're sorry. took me a little while. Even then, my 11-year-old spirit was just... We get that young. It's called depravity. And every kid born's got it. We're dead in trespass and sin, and our flesh just... No. But I really want to go fishing. And I have to tell you, my heart was not pure, but because fishing got me more than getting right with mama. And so I went to her, and I put my little arms around her, and I said those words. And it was on. It was no longer about fishing. It was really good. Because I'd done the right thing. And she hugged me and we both cried. I mean, these are tears of almost 50 years ago, and I remember them hot down my cheek like they were yesterday. Reconciliation is powerful. Powerful. And the way that He uses that word of people coming together is the same way that when you get saved, you come to God and God comes to you, and you've been separate from God. You're lost is what the Bible calls it. And you are reconciled by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ through the shed blood. That, my friend, is our message. We are ambassadors of reconciliation. Now, let me let you know something. You make a poor ambassador of reconciliation to God if you're not reconciled to the brothers and sisters that you say are in the same citizenship you are in. When you're on the outs with a bunch of folks and they don't like you and you don't like them, it's hard to preach that reconciliation and share that reconciliation when there's this divide with you. Now, some people won't let you reconcile. But that doesn't mean you can't go do what you're supposed to do and leave that to the Lord to turn their heart to come in reconciliation. We are ambassadors. We're representatives. Our citizenship is of there, and we're living here. But don't forget, one day you're going to quit living here and you're going home, because that's where your citizenship is. That's where your real house is. We're going to a building not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Glory be to His name. Ambassadors, who can we share that reconciliation with? It's our job. It's what we do. It's why God has left us here.